quite powerful. But this morning I'm going to talk about how the Lord asked Simon to go out deeper. So turn with me to your Bibles in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. Luke the physician. Luke was not an apostle. He was not one of the 12. He followed Paul around. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret. That day will come again when the multitudes will come to hear the word of the Lord. And he saw two boats standing by the lake by the fish, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats. In the book of Luke, this is the first time the disciples had met Jesus. So this preacher man jumped in one of the boats. Which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Go further than what you've been. Launch out into the deep and let down your what? Let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered, now don't forget, Simon doesn't know him. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all what? All night. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the what? What did Jesus tell him to do? Let down the nets. He only let down the net. He only let down one. You see, your night season sometimes limits you in your thinking. Your night season sometimes limits you in being obedient to the word of the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we limit the word of the Lord and we do what we think we should do. So we'll do a partial stepping out. Don't forget, their night season, there was toil. Their night season, there was effort. Their night season, there was a place where they were looking for something which they couldn't find. Searching for something they didn't get. Then all of a sudden, the word came to them and said, let down your nets. Well, Peter's no fool. He was a fisherman. And this carpenter is telling a fisherman how to fish. So he said, well, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You know what? I don't want to be embarrassed. I'll just let out a net. Not a net. A net. And went out a bit and let out a net. Let's keep reading. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And then they signaled to the other partners in their boats to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Peter had toiled all night, caught nothing, and there was the word to him, go deeper. Anyone ever been in a night season? Anyone ever been in that place where you can't see in front of you? You know what you should do, and you're doing what you should do, doing your best what you should be doing, seeking what you should be seeking. And at the end of the night season, nothing seems to have been accomplished. And what can happen in my night season, the toil of life. Anyone ever had toil of life? Life can be cruel. Bad things happen to good people. Doesn't mean you've done something bad. Things happen. Life happens. Sickness happens. Doesn't mean you've done bad. Just mean it's part of life. At 20, I didn't need these. Now I need these. At 20, I had a full set of hair, just like him at the back. Probably a bit longer, down here somewhere. Now I've got to put a bit of stuff in. Life happens. And sometimes, if we're really honest, it can be unfair. But what I've got to remember is I've got to make sure that he's in my boat. The boat represents Peter's life. It's his livelihood. Represents life to him. So he said, launch out of the deep. His response was no different to anyone else who had just went through a night experience and yet saw nothing happen. Nothing happened. He didn't catch what he wanted to catch. A night experience is when you're toiling, working and doing what you know you should do, all the right things, but nothing seems to be happening. Can I hear an amen, please? Nothing seems to be happening. You're praying. You're reading. You're doing. You're doing the right stuff. But the night season, nothing seems to be happening. The dilemma is sometimes we allow that focus to be so much on the not happening than my waymaker who's standing at the shore waiting for me. Amen. But nothing happened. I have done everything I know to do, everything in my strength, and yet nothing's happening. Sometimes we have reasons to justify and question the master's logic. When he says, put out the nets, I say, Lord, whether it's been through hurt, pain, rejection, whatever it is, Lord, I hear you, but I don't want to take the risk. I hear you, but I don't want to take the risk. Probably the reason Peter didn't want to take the risk was he heard him, but he never knew him. And a lot of times we hear, we'll get a word, we'll even read the word, but we don't know the author of the word. We have no relationship with the author of the word. We have a relationship maybe with Scripture. We may have a relationship with my prayer book or my hymn book or, I don't know. Please, if you're born again Pentecostal believer in Jesus Christ, you should not need a hymn book. On the word of the day. And they're all good, but they're not him. I've got to get into a place where I wait upon him, the person called Jesus Christ. Not just his miracles, not just his goodness, the person of Jesus Christ. So when Peter didn't know him, there is a limitation that can occur in my life because of my night season. A limitation in my thinking, a limitation in my faith, a limitation in my belief. And what happens is I allow what's just happened and occurred by my sight to dictate to me more than by faith in the word. Anyone ever been there before? We have a plan B, the just in case plan. You know, I believe it just in case. He reasons, he justifies and questions the logic and responds to the word. I will let down the net. I'll go so far, but I won't do everything you've said. I'll go so far. I'll just do this much because you don't understand my night season. And if you don't know him, your logic will dictate to you that he doesn't understand. Logic like this: why would he allow that to happen? Logic like this: if he loved me, he would. And the reality is that our night seasons can shift. My night season might not be your night season. Your night season might not be my night season. I remember when my son was born, John, it was my night season. I believe what the doctors were saying. For my wife, it was an opportunity. She never saw how I saw. She never thought how I thought. Therefore, I can be strong in this season, or that part of life, or that particular moment where she might be walking through a dark season. So thank God for marriage. Thank God for your husband or your wife. Thank God for your children. Thank God that you have someone else that can be in a different place than you are at your moment, where they can lift up your hands, where they can challenge your thinking. My wife has got the best right foot. She will give me a kick when she sees my stinking thinking. And I will give her the look, and vice versa. We're to edify, uplift, and exhort one another in the midst of that season, because them seasons do come. Every one of us will experience a winter night season. You can't get away from it, because in the midst of it, he's developing something in your life. Away with this theology that only good things happen to Christians. It's not true. You will go through trials and tests. You will go through stuff. Sometimes the stuff seems so unfair, but he will carry you through it. Because in the midst of my stuff and my season, when he was born the way he was born, I thought it was the end. But through the circumstance of life, he opened doors for me that would never ever have been opened before. He witnessed to doctors and surgeons and to professors that we would never have been able to see. So when people like the doctor that saw my son would say and rebuke my wife, say to her things like, "Don't you realize I have the power of life and death in my hands?" And my wife would say, "Don't you know you've got nothing without God?" And there's me saying, "Shh, my night season." And at 6, with his little piece of wood on the back bottom of his leg, he walks into hospital because they thought he was dead. They actually rang me up and says, "Is your John still around?" They didn't know how to say it, actually. "Is John available?" That's what they actually said. "Is John available?" I said, "Oh, do you mean is he still here?" "Yeah." "Could we see him?" And as we walked through the doors of the PMH, the man that thought he had life and death in his hands had a crowd of doctors around him, young men and women learning about medicine, and he turned around and he burst into tears. And he made them all turn around and says, "Look around, you've seen a miracle." Amen. That's a miracle. And I can't explain it. God will allow situations in your life to people to experience the miraculous of him. And he will use your stuff. He will use your night season. He will use your pressure. He will use your loneliness. He will use your aloneness
to get you in a place where he can reveal himself through you, the salt and the light of the earth, to another that might never experience it any other way. Then he expects you to keep going and keep doing what you need to do in the midst of that season and keep glorifying him in it. So sometimes life can be tough, but the tougher get going. Can I hear an amen? So here we have this man just letting down his net, and he's no different to any one of us. When sometimes we go through a night season, trust can be hard. But the greatest expectation from the Father is, trust me and be obedient. Trust me and be obedient.
He received the word of the Lord to do something. And when you receive a word of the Lord, it should always stretch you. It'll stretch you sometimes beyond your capacity. Because if you can do it, it's in your strength. He will cause me to act beyond my reasoning and my logic and my capability. He'll want me to walk by faith. He'll want me to walk by faith. It will test me, will cause me to acknowledge his word in all facets of life. To my wife, he's the healer. To me, he's my provider. When I was going around Australia and I was on a forced fast for 7 days, my kids were eating beetroot and rice. He wasn't born. Beetroot and rice. I said, God, you've got to provide for me. My wife was still laying hands on the sick, seeing people saved, seeing the drunken man saved. She was seeing people saved, delivered, healed. I wasn't interested in that, to be honest. I just wanted something to eat. I arrived at the 1 mile jetty and I went out and I cried. I'm 24, two kids. I'm bawling my eyes out. I said, Lord, you have to do something for me. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you've got nothing. We had nothing. We even ran out of petrol. I couldn't even start the car, the van. We had nothing. I said, Lord, I like a bit of shark. Next morning, there's a school shark on my bonnet. The girls cut it up. I ate it. I said, Lord, I don't want to tempt you, but I'd love another one. Next morning, another school shark on my bonnet. From that moment, he showed himself my Jehovah Jireh. I've never had to stress or worry about being provided for. He will use seasons in your life and things in your life. So for one, he's your healer. For another, he might be your provider. For another, he might be your way maker. I mean, in a unique way. We all experience them fashions and forms of it in some way. But some people are locked into them things because he's revealed himself as that to them. Amen? Some he's your deliverer. Some he's your lover. Many times saints do not fulfill the God-given assignment in life because of the pain of their night season. Where you nearly let down the net. Someone else has hurt me. Someone else has damaged me. Disappointment's got around me. And may I even say it with all sincerity, bitterness can creep in. And I want to tell you a little bit about bitterness. Bitterness is the result of unforgiveness. And bitterness is a root system. He says, remove the root of bitterness. It's a root system that it's working underground in the unseen realm. And it will spread to other facets of my thinking and life if I don't uproot the root. You ever seen a mop tree? You know them big trees that go, them suckers. they all of a sudden they'll pop up out of the ground from the root system. And they look quite nice when there's just one. But you don't want a dozen of them. And you're constantly pulling them up, pulling them up, pulling them up. And you can cut the tree down. But if you don't deal with the root, it'll pop up. Amen. When I was a young kid, there was a show called Bill and Ben, the Flower Pot Men. Anyone remember that? Praise God. Blah, blah, little what? What was the middle thing? Two flower pot men, and what was in the middle? Weed. 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 Do you know weeds grow in our gardens? This garden, the garden of our heart. And if you've got fertile ground, the devil will sow seeds of discourse, anger, resentment, bitterness, envy, strife. Now that show celebrated weed. Not weed, I mean cannabis. Celebrated the weed. But God expects me to uproot the weed. Amen. Unforgiveness will result in bitterness, which has a root system. Well, that will not just affect you. Hallelujah. This night season can cause a saint to lose heart. Be cautious, less trustworthy, and more side-driven than faith-filled. Therefore, the minute I'm like that, I have set limitations. Now, I will not cast down the nets, but I will just give the net. Jesus requested nets. Peter put down a net. Because of an empty sense of lack in my night experience, I will do exactly the same. Where previous attempts fail, past experience can cause me to lack hope. You know when you're in that situation where you allow the dictation, the dictates of the night season? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. It says in Proverbs 13 verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, hallelujah, come on now, you can reverse the situation. You can reverse the situation. Desire is not an event. Desire is not something that has to occur to make me happy. Desire is an attitude of one's mind to say, God, you're absolute, you're in control. No matter what the season is, you are there waiting for me. You are there that will make room for me and make a way for me. And God, I thank you that you will cause that which I've lost and restore me back. But when desire comes, say desire. I want to tell you, no matter how tough the situation is, no matter what opposition to your dream it may be, what accusations you may face, hello, Joseph, you've got to keep a right attitude. You've got to keep a thankful spirit. You can't afford to take offense because offenses will come. In fact, the Bible says when offenses come, they will come. May I just go a little bit deeper with this? Your offenses, and most of your offenses, will not occur from unbelievers. I don't give two hoots what Joe Blow says down the road. I couldn't give a hoot. But I do care what my brothers and sisters say. Most offense will come from the church. What am I going to do with it? Because it will come. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to allow the night season of life to dictate to me? Am I going to limit God and what he wants to do through me because of my night season? Am I only going to trust him and his word and just throw out a net instead of being obedient and say, throw out your nets? Am I going to limit God? Do you know God is limited by our thinking? I mean, he's a limitless God.
But I can limit him in my life by the way I think.
Don't give up and rekindle one's trust in the Word in His presence. How do I do that? How do I do that? Well, I might just have to go a little deeper than I'm at. I might just have to go a little deeper in my thinking. I might just have to go a little bit deeper in my faith. I might have to just go a little bit deeper in my commitment to Him. My trust in Him. And above all, my humility in Him. A place where the Word has preeminence in my life. Where the Word has preeminence in my life. Amen. We had a huge line last week about wanting to know the Word more. How are we going with that? Are we reading? Are we taking that step first so He can meet us? For without it, our nets will be empty and you'll toil and life will make you toil. And night seasons are sometimes unfair. But unless you get in Him in your boat, it's hard work. I was just talking to a brother just before the preaching was starting, and someone said to him that was dying of cancer, I don't know how unbelievers can do it. Without Christ, it's hard. And we've got Christ. If you're born again here this morning, you have Christ. But sometimes we don't go to Him. We go to this. We go to this. And we trust this more than Him. I hope we can all say amen. His Word, will I respond or will I react to His Word? Because that's what he did, didn't he? He reacted. I won't let my dad nets, I'll just give a net. Will I respond? Yes, Lord. Or will I react? Anyone ever reacted? Not many hands go up when I say things like this. I've reacted bad. I mean, I've missed it, man. I've missed it, messed it, and mucked it. But guess what? He's there to pick up the pieces. React to His Word. Will I surrender and obey, or will I reason and reject and be half-hearted? And what happens is half-heartedness actually builds up cynicism. We get critical. We get judgmental. I've got to give Him all of me. I can't give Him some of me. In fact, He won't accept just some of me. He paid the price for all of me. Amen. He wants me to launch out deeper. He wants to go deeper. The unknown, the never tried, the place of stretching. And that's what it means. The unknown. Trust. The never tried. Don't know if I can. The place of stretching. Can I do it? Well, you can't. That's why you've got to walk by faith. It's a place where the power of the Word meets the assignment of God and miracle takes place. And not every miracle is what you want. I'm sorry, it isn't. And I don't want to confound your theology this morning, but not everyone is healed. But will you still love Him? Does that mean He's less God? Does that mean He loves you less? No. He just wants to use you And what he wants to do is strip away this connection that this is life, where he is life. And sometimes I think we forget the turmoil of what the saints of old had to go through. My Bible says some were boiled in oil. Some were cut asunder. Some were skinned. And I know it's not a popular gospel, but it's a gospel of truth. Some things happen in life that I might never understand the why. Come on. And you can waste life trying to understand the why. Instead of saying, Lord, in you do I trust you. In this do I trust you. Even in this do I trust you. I trust you. I trust you enough that you will make it work together for my good. Doesn't mean that the situation might change. It just might mean this has changed. My thinking might have changed. My value system might have changed. My heart might have changed. Hallelujah. And sometimes as Christians, we get caught up with this. I've heard things said to people that are absolutely abhorrent. Oh, you're not healed because you lack faith. That's disgusting. How dare you say that? How dare people say that to another Christian? You don't know their faith. We don't know their faith. Judge. It's exactly what people are doing. And however you judge, you shall be. Make the tree good or make the tree evil. Doesn't he say that? Make the tree good or make the tree evil. Who does the making? We do. Should I tell you how most of it you make it by? This. This thing. This unruly member. This unruly member that comes, that speaks stuff, that goes out. And once it's out, it's out. Hallelujah. Book of Proverbs says my words should be like pearls of silver. Weighty. Silver represents grace. Weighty, full of grace. Amen. Full of grace. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. You know, one of the treasures of heaven is silver. Your words full of grace. You're storing up treasure. Glory to God. It's a place where power of the word meets the assignment of God and miracles take place. Am I ready to catch what God wants to do? Are you ready to catch what God wants to do in your life and go deeper than you were before? And trust the word. Trust in him and trust his word that he will make sure at the end everything you need is provided for. I'll reiterate this, what you need, not what you want. What you need, if it's for his assignment, he'll get it to you. And no devil in hell can stop it. If he wants you to have it, you'll have it. Glory to God. Go deeper. Go deeper. Jesus steps in his boat. In the midst of his mess, in the midst of his lack, in the midst of him fighting his night season, Jesus stepped in his boat. Glory to God. Is there room for Jesus in your boat? Or am I so full of my thinking? I'm so consumed with my washing my net, ready for the next, oh, let me at it. For most Christians, it'll be like this. Let me at him or let me at her. Jesus said, don't worry about that. Get in your boat. We need to go deeper than where you've been before. That's his cry. We need to go deeper than where you've been before. And the only person that limits God is me. Should we stand this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a story, a parable in the Bible where this young girl died and the parents sent for him. And as he went in the room, there were these wailers and groaners and moaners crying out. Really what they were crying out is hopelessness and despair. And Jesus said this, make room. And he put the voices out. He says, make room. And he put them out. Do you know you've got to sometimes put out the voices in your head and make room for the word? Make room. Let him go deeper. He can only come if you invite him to come. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to go deeper. If that means I have to endure, help me, Jesus, and grace me. Amen. And what he graces you for, sometimes people might never understand. And they won't because they're not graced for it. Glory to God. Persuasion will never make people enter the kingdom. It won't. The Word Himself, Jesus the Christ, He knew everything. Everything. Yet not all believed. Don't cast pearl before swine. Otherwise, you can lose heart. Amen. Glory to God. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you want to go to that deeper place, it's very private, this. If you want to go to that deeper place in Him, there has to be a surrender to the truth. And not just give Him what I think He needs to get. Oh yeah, I'll cast my net. Heard it all before. Been in that place of apathy and despair. He wants your nets. He wants everything. He wants your everything. If there is a root system in your life, you need to uproot it. Glory to God. You need to kill that thing. Poison it. You know how you kill a weed? Poison the thing. Pour on the truth. Let it kill it. Hallelujah. If that's you this morning, you just raise your hands before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to go deep. I want to go deep. First of all, Father, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for setting limitations on you in my life. Forgive me. Help me to trust you wholeheartedly. I know that's a process. I know, Jesus, it's a work in progress. But start in me. I yield to you this morning. I bow my knee and I say, have your way.
in me, through me, that you might get some glory out of everything I do. Help me to be the salt and light in my house. Help me. Help me to be the salt and light to my brother, my sister, my mother, my father. Help me. Help me to endure my night season. Know that you are the light to my path. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are there in the midst of it with me. I trust you. I believe you. I thank you today is that new day of new beginnings. Hallelujah. Day of new beginnings for me, for your mercies are new every morning. So Father, today we just surrender afresh. We say, come into the boat. Come into my boat. Show me where you want me to be, that I might cast my net for the catch for the kingdom of God. Souls. See a transformation in our life. I believe it because you've said it. I receive it by faith. Help me to outwork it by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you love him? He loves you to death. I want to say that again. He loves you to death. Something has to die to live out resurrection life. Amen. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship. Amen. Love you, darling. Mwah. God bless you. Have a great week.